That is entertainment. That means that is time to welcome into the studio Michael Letty. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Greg.
We're on our own.
I know. I feel so abandoned. She's got
hobnobbing with the big wigs.
I know. I'm just sad.
But you're lucky she's back next week. So
I don't just get my hopes up like that, Greg. Come on, are you sure?
Yeah, she is, of course.
I'm supposed to be seeing her tomorrow night.
Okay, that's cool. Come here, it's just been the way the cards have fallen.
Exactly,
the jigs and the reels, is also a form of entertainment, isn't it?
Oh,
are you watching
nice
much TV lately? I was just opining on social media yesterday that on the 26th of March, okay.
Yes.
We'll have a sunrise at what? What is the times? I can't remember what I posted. The sunrise, so when the clocks change, right? I'm going to open up my old Facebook.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now.
Yeah, I saw your post, actually.
Might give myself a like.
Yeah.
because we have to be positive here.
Of course.
The dark days are behind us.
I agree completely.
So on March the 26th, right, which is just a couple of weeks away, the sun will rise at 7:16 a.m., which means a lot of people will be going to work in daylight. Mm-hmm. And then it won't set until 10 to 8.
Yeah, 7:50.
Isn't that lovely? So people will get home from work, depending on their hours, of course. They'll have a few hours in the evening. We'll all feel a little bit better about ourselves, won't we?
Absolutely. Longer days. I mean,
won't be walking around in the dark.
I won't be walking around in the dark. That makes it sound very sinister, but there you go. No, I won't. And getting up in the dark, those mornings when I do rise early, which isn't every morning. It does affect mood. Of course it does, absolutely, and longer days and brighter days. And even this week, do you know what I mean? Out and about, I can go in and do my messages without my coat now.
You could grow a little bit, maybe, depending on what you have. Maybe you're out cutting the lawn, maybe you're growing some fruit and veg on your windowsill.
Absolutely.
Who's to say, whatever.
Who's to say?
But that is what's coming. Right, let's go to the cinema first. Mm-hmm. Ant-Man 3.
Yes.
Have you watched this yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Myself and Fanula saw this a couple of weeks back, yeah. And both of us give it a thumbs up.
This is a huge film, isn't it?
Huge, yeah.
Even though it's about a little man.
There you go. Very good. Nice bit of...
it's accidental, but it's true.
A nice bit of contrast there. Yeah, it's the latest Marvel movie. It's the start of what they are calling Phase 5, which is the next big phase of Marvel movies.
These are films.
But
why does it have to be Phase 5?
I think it's just to let people know that it's part of a storyline, that they're kicking off something different. The TV shows were kind of introducing a lot of new characters to the MCU.
True.
And now we're returning to the Avengers, and we're going to see more of Ant-Man, and we're going to see Nick Fury back, and we're going to see more of Don Cheadle as his character and stuff like that. This is a fun, big, fun movie. Again, big for a small man, making the same joke as you made. It introduces... No, it doesn't. It actually... It's the second movie with the main villain that we're going to see over the next few years. This villain appeared in a different guise, same actor, in the Loki TV series, which was excellent. And so the actor returns to play a different iteration of the same character, and that'll make a lot of sense to people who've seen these movies. But I don't want to give too much away if you haven't seen it
yet. Do you have to see 1 and 2 to enjoy 3?
No. You do not. No, it's a very different beast. The first two movies were light, fluffy. They were heist movies, really. Really doubling down on the comedic elements, making great use of Paul Rudd and a lot of supporting characters. They were superhero movies, but they were very much in the real world and they were a lot of fun. This one isn't in the real world at all. It's in a place called the Quantum Realm. Mm. So it has been compared by a lot of reviewers and friends of mine to a Star Wars movie. It looks nothing like the first two movies. And in terms of tone...
Is Spider-Man a friend of Ant-Man's, or is that different?
No, he is.
Well, he was up in space too. That was a wee bit otherworldly, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. So it's very similar to that kind of thing. So it's a real full-on sci-fi fantasy movie. And if you like Michelle Pfeiffer, she gets a lot to do in this. And I thought she was excellent. If you like Michael Douglas, who has appeared in a supporting role in the previous movies, you get to see much more of him in this movie as well. And he really is... One of the things Fanula said... And Valina said many things both during and after the movie.
I love how you're sort of having to give her opinions.
I'm giving her
on this
view as well, yeah. Exactly. But she was saying, and I completely agreed as a huge fan of Michael Douglas from the days of the streets of San Francisco, his cop show in the 70s, which I'm still watching.
There's a point at
the end of the movie where he makes a big entrance. And as Valina said, when you see him doing that, you really see, oh, that's why they cast someone like Michael Douglas. Like, he has it. He has that X factor that, as she said herself, only people like Greg Hughes have. Those people, when they enter a room.
The closest I have to edit that is the what's that factor?
not the it factor there.
Like, what is that?
Yeah, so Michelle Pfeiffer gets a lot
I'm
to
so
do.
Boring.
Yeah,
I
well,
really
I'm evading that yeah. statement as much as I possibly can. I don't want to get sucked into agreeing with you just in case.
It's God's honest truth. Right, so you
thumbs up.
You can give a thumbs up from you and Fionnuala.
Fionnuala both.
What out of 10?
For me, it's a definite 9. I really, really enjoyed it. She wasn't as enthusiastic. I'd say probably a 7. Yeah, okay. About what he said.
All right.
And yeah, but we both really enjoyed it. I went back and saw it a second time.
Really?
In 3D.
Okay.
Which
does that work?
Yes, the 3D is fabulous in this, and it. If I can, I'm busy with. I'm heading to the theater tonight. I'm heading to the theater tomorrow night. I've been to the theater like 4 times in the last 2 weeks. If I can find a free night next week of another show, I want to try and get back to the cinema to see it a third time because I really enjoyed it and I just enjoyed it.
What will you get from it a third time? You've watched it in 2D, you've watched it in 3D.
3D, 4D. No, 4D.
Well,
I know, it's just picking up on the little Easter eggs, little
it's
moments.
It's brilliant. Listen, I envy you. I'm not quizzing you as if to say, you know, oh my.
Like, no, I know that.
I would actually, you know, I would love to be that passionate about anything. Not passionate, but interesting.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's just, yeah.
Does
but
that make sense?
Of course it makes sense. Yeah. And yeah, I'll find other things to chat about, both with friends in real life and friends online in the groups, the groups that I'm in. Yeah,
listen, so we'll chat about it. And if it's what you're interested in, I need to have external interests. I think I really do. You know what I mean? It's just finding the time, isn't it? So you mentioned...
I said this to you before on air, but I mean, news is both your hobby and your... I mean, you have an interest. The news cycle is a thing for you. It's like, I know that. Like, kind of.
But then I switch off from it completely.
Yeah, like, which is healthy.
And actually last night was watching Emmerdale, which is, they're covering a very sensitive issue at the moment.
I saw that. I saw your comment, yeah.
And it's a funny old one because it's a conversation, and I have to be very careful how I speak.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the problem. We're too careful with how we speak. I don't know. But they're covering a story about male suicide. And it's being done, you know, it's very much there, you know what I mean? Like, you could argue maybe this could be triggering. I don't know. But there was a cliffhanger last night, right? And I'm just not really comfortable with it, right? Because it's such a serious issue. And I'd be really interested.
Is that trivializing?
I don't know what it does, because I think there are people, perhaps not in a very strong emotional state, that are very invested in that, and it's going to be very difficult for them to wait, or it could harm them in some way or other, or maybe I'm overthinking it, I don't know. But the way it's kind of left is that we don't know if he's okay or not, right? And I just don't know if that's an appropriate cliffhanger for a soap on such a sensitive issue.
On the flip side, is it a good that it opens conversations? Is it? Yes, I don't know.
It's like but the conversation has to be done correctly as well, and I'm not really quite sure if it is or not, you know, because maybe people might feel his story's aligned with theirs.
Yeah, of course.
And they haven't got maybe, I don't know if he's okay or not, right? So maybe they don't get the payoff that could help them.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Of course it
makes
sense,
it sounds like a really heartless thing to say. But anyway, any listeners watching Emmerdale, what do you think about that storyline? Do you think it's appropriate that it was left as a cliffhanger till the next episode or what? I don't know. I don't think anyone really knows what the right way is. It just felt like I think there's people that probably needed to know if he's going to be okay, that he's okay.
Yeah.
So that's another part of the TV. But that's the kind of stuff I end up watching Coronation Street, not Love Island, Big Brother, anything, just nonsense, going through Power at the moment. Right.
Which
okay.
I've heard is really good. A friend of mine from work really likes it.
It's another 24. Maybe jack it in after 3 or 4 seasons. I'm not sure which. I haven't decided. I think we're in season 5 at the moment.
And there are multiple franchises out.
Like, I haven't really been able to explore that too much because I want to know what characters make it and what characters don't. But I think they're running out of steam in season 5. You know, I really do. But anyway, that's Power on Netflix, by the way. If you've never watched it, don't watch it with Fionnuala's granny. But the first two or three seasons are excellent. The first two actually are
and broadly speaking, good. I'm aware of it. It's gangsters, isn't it?
It's a couple of guys that grew up in the hood. They, you know, were up to no good throughout the courses of their lives. And at one point, one of them wants to be legit and the other is sort of trapped in the game. And it's... Yes. You know, you trying to get clean of it, it tries to keep pulling you back in. Yeah. The police are all over them and it's trying to distance, you know, and it challenges friendships and all that type of stuff.
It does sound good.
It is excellent for the first few series, but after that, I think there's a lot of rehashing and a lot of it's unrealistic at that point, you know.
And speaking of things coming to an end, I don't know if you want to take a break, but you were saying, the big news this week, and I don't watch it, but you watch Succession, correct?
Yes.
And you saw the news, it's coming to an end.
No, I didn't.
It's ending.
But you saw one of the Star Treks are coming to an end.
I did see that.
Yes. Now, you might care about that. I'm okay with Succession coming to an end. I think that's a show that has a very good natural conclusion. Another brilliant show if no one's ever watched it.
Yeah.
Right, let us take that break then. Back in a sec with more from Michael. Okay, I can't play much of this because YouTube and Facebook will get all snotty with me. It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. Who's that, Katie? You can't hear it, can you? I don't even have a mic up. I'm so excited.
It's okay. I can hear it. I can hear it through your headphones. I'm excited too. It is the one and only legend, of course, which is Tom Jones. Why are we playing that, I wonder?
I don't know, you tell me. What are you even doing in here if you're not other things to do?
I know. I feel like I'm good news person. Good news McGee. That's what you need to call me from now on.
Okay. Slightly different to the other more popularised way of saying something McGee, but anyway.
No. We are going to Tom Jones.
Yay! Tom Jones is coming to Ireland, Belfast, Ireland, Friday the 16th of June 2023. And we're doing one of our trips.
We are. We are indeed. We are going the 16th of June, which is, of course, a Friday. He's playing at Belsonic, which is an outdoor event. So it's very exciting because this is actually one, well, it's not a rescheduled event, but he was supposed to play during COVID and it had to be cancelled. So it's another opportunity for people who booked or who want to book to go again.
I mean, let's talk about Tom Jones for a second. I mean, he's something else, isn't he? I mean, this guy is a absolute legend. This is a man of the Elvis era. He's still going strong. He's reinvented himself as a TV personality. He's just something else, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I used to watch The Voice UK, right? Now, not in the last few years, but the last
Your honesty is amazing. I know. Because I would have gone, and I am still watching it, and I love Tom Jones.
But I do love Tom Jones.
Sean was in here, he lied through his teeth.
Well, no. We'll bring a bit of upper class to the room. So
you used to watch The Voice UK.
Yeah, and he would be able to just burst into song and it would
the
be
power
just
in the voice.
Yeah, unbelievable for like a man of 82 now.
Don't know.
He
is about that.
Who cares?
But anyway, like he's unbelievable he's just a powerhouse. Like it's so exciting. Like I'd love to be able to see him, but unfortunately, I'm not going.
How do you know already? Because I've been bumped off the trip to Scotland. I don't know. Who do you have to cozy up to get on these trips?
Me. No, that's a lie.
Right. Yeah, he is in Belfast on Friday the 16th of June 2023. No scramble for hotels. No scramble for accommodation, which is a hotel. Yeah. No scramble for tickets. Not worrying about how you're going to get there. Is there any buses going? Do you want a car share? Where will I park the car?
Yeah.
You have all that sorted.
All that's sorted. And the great thing about the hotel, which I think is actually a really nice touch, is that this hotel has a leisure centre. So a lovely 15-metre swimming pool, sauna, steam room, all the rest of it. Available to all the residents, so will be able to be used for free by whoever books the trip. They'll be able to use that leisure centre as well in their free time.
Bit of downtime. Yeah.
Bit of downtime, wind down the morning after or before you head out the door, whatever you like.
All right, so the trip includes luxury coach transfers, an overnight stay at the four-star Clayton Hotel Belfast. Your breakfast is included.
Yeah.
And as Katie's just mentioned, there's a 15-metre swimming pool there. You also have a standing ticket to the outdoor event. Now, this is an important part of it because I like to be all out there and into the front. This is a standing concert. So,
it is,
I don't know, people don't bring chairs to these things. I don't know, whatever. But anyway, this is to, it's an outdoor event. It's standing. It's in the height of summer. Obviously, there's going to be a huge variety in the crowd there.
Yeah.
But just so the listeners know.
Oh, 100%.
In terms
of
knowing that. And it is €249 per person sharing. You start pulling out what's included in it, and you start to see that it's a considered purchase, of course, but $249 sharing, it represents great value. You don't have to worry about nothing. We pick you up, get you to the hotel, you get your you get the show, get your breakfast, go for a swim, we get you home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. All included.
Okay. How do people book it?
Give me a call. Can you give me a call? 074.
I feel like I'm doing the heavy lifting on the sale here. Are you tired?
It's hard to get a word in, you know. You're a presenter presenting away there. You're doing a great job.
All right, okay, whatever.
Okay. No, give me a call here at the station and I'll get the places booked. €100 per person sharing holds your place. That part of it is non-refundable, but it's not on until June. Mm-hmm. So we won't be looking for the remainder of the balance probably towards the end of May.
Yeah, so people have a time to
plenty of time.
Put a few bob aside as it gets closer.
Yeah, they can pay in for it as well. You know, you don't have to pay the full balance at that stage, or if they want to pay in bits and pieces throughout, I'll take the payments as they go.
Well, you see, I went down recently, and this is, you know, there's nothing in it for me to say this is fantastic as such, right, other than part of the team. But we went down to see Lewis Capaldi recently on a Monday night.
Yeah.
And the hotel, the cost of the petrol, the wear and tear, the ticket, you know, far in excess of this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
It does work out.
If you want to do
expensive.
It, if you, exactly, to do it on your own. So if you do want to do it, this is a good way of doing it. And you get to see the man himself. All right, that's all very, very exciting. You can secure your place, €100 per person sharing, then pay in towards the end of May, as Katie indicated there. And get in touch with us, 07491 25000. Decent capacity? I mean, do people need to get on this ASAP, Katie?
We only have one coach going to this event.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, it's worthwhile. If you're thinking about going, definitely get into me sooner rather than later and I'll get your places secured.
Brilliant. And what's your, do you have a favourite Tom Jones song? What about you, Michael?
I love Sex Bomb.
Ooh.
Because it's the theme tune to one of my favourite TV shows. Of
which
course,
is what?
Of course. It was a show called Gross Point, which was a parody comedy of Beverly Hills 90210, and it was great. And that was the theme they used. So I also love Kiss. I love a lot of his stuff. I mean,
Kiss
stuff
was an interesting one.
Great one,
Because that's, he did it after Prince, wasn't he?
He did, yeah. He did, yeah. But I preferred his version.
Yeah, me too. What do you think?
It's not unusual. You can't beat
I've
that.
I've already done that.
I know, but you can't beat it. Like, you know, it's, you know. Quintessential
right, well, we'll
Tom
play
Jones.
Out with a little bit of what's going on here? I don't know how to work this system. We'll play out with a little bit of Kiss then. I don't normally play music. All right, Katie, thank you very much indeed.
No problem.
07491 25000. It is Tom Jones in Belfast on Friday the 16th of June in the beautiful summer weather, we hope. And you have overnight stay in the 4-star Clayton Hotel. It's a standing ticket, but we'll get you there. We'll book you into a hotel. You've got breakfast the next day and access to the fantastic leisure centre, which includes that 15, count them, 15-metre swimming pool available to residents.
I don't know why, I just thought that was really impressive. 15-metre, I was like, ooh, I'd love to go.
14 wouldn't have been.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, if it was a 12-metre.
I wouldn't have mentioned it.
She would have turned her nose up and it's just, that's a bath. That's a bath. It's not even worth me getting into me, Cossie.
But 15
metres.
Wow.
Yep.
As if she could get from one end to the next.
If I can go from one width.
That's what I'm thinking. How wide is it?
No, yeah.
All right, Katie, thanks for that.
No bother.
All right.
You don't have to be beautiful to turn me on. I just need your body, baby, from dusk till dawn. You don't need experience to turn me out. You just leave it all up to me. I'll show you what it's all about. You don't have to be rich.
All right, we're going to have to cut across it, Michael. But he sounds good, doesn't he?
He sounds fantastic.
And he still sounds fantastic,
yes,
as well.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Fantastic.
That is Tom Jones. Get on to us now if you want to. We only have one coach going, right? And if you want to go, you need to get on that as soon as you can. Right, we're going to talk more. Actually, you know what? Let's keep the chat going.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Because we kind of had to rush through things yesterday. Not yesterday, last Friday.
Last week, yeah.
You've mentioned your extensive attendance at the theatre.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of theatre things on the list, yeah.
We're not saying we won't get through them all, but which one do you want to go with first?
That is a good question.
Dante Dan, King, The Last Return,
Dan,
or White Elephants, When Elephants Collide.
Saw a few of these a couple of weeks ago, again with Fionnuala. Dante Dan is Erin Monaghan's group, Living Dread. This was one of the numerous things I've seen. This might be the highlight. I really enjoyed Dante Dan. A play written in the 90s, Cork lady wrote it, set in 1970, but a group of teenagers discovering sex, discovering all of that, set exclusively at the side of the road, as kind of they kind of hang out near a phone box. And it's just one of those experiences. I love going to the theatre. And a lot of times, like, you're brought into maybe someone's kitchen. A lot of the things I've seen recently are just, it's really good in this sense. But this was different. It was like a wall, a phone box. And like growing up in the 80s, we didn't have a phone in the house for a long time. So obviously I was down at the phone box and it triggered a lot of those memories. And it was a bunch of kids. And there was one who was obsessively writing things in his notebook. And Fionnuala thought that probably reminded her of me. And I thought it reminded me of me. And it was a very funny play, great young cast, great chemistry. Dante Dan was great. They were doing like a 13 venue tour of the country. They're based out of Cavan, and it was a Cork play which was being brought back after like a 20-25 year gap. So the lady who wrote it, Gina Maxley, I'm looking at my notes here. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And I run through a couple of others as well. I won't. Okay, so I will give that.
I forgot, right? Because normally I go, oh, you've been to some. I was at a live play.
Tell me more.
I was. I'm the One for You from the Turman Drama Group in Kilmacrennan.
Oh, okay.
Last Saturday.
Right, and I know that kind of, I know, like, obviously, being a family man, you don't get out to the place.
Listen, I could do stuff. Thank God Hudson sleeps well. You put him down at, you know, 8. He's asleep. We've got, you know, loads of family, thank God. We still don't do much. Joke, we do loads. But, because I say on this program, I'd like to do the other.
Yeah.
And we got, Ashley was doing a little bit of the makeup and stuff. And we got tickets and went. And it was brilliant.
Very
it was really, really funny.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
What was the name of it again?
Just I'm the One for You, I think it was called.
Okay.
And it's a small cast, but it's brilliant. It really is funny. And the whole hall was laughing. Mm. And laughing
That's
even
a great...
when stuff wasn't being said, which I was thinking, wow, how good are these people when you can have people laughing with an expression or when there's no words. Do you know? This comes second nature to you as someone who goes to the theatre a lot, right? So you get that.
Yeah.
But for me as a newbie that hasn't been to much, I thought it was great. I thought it was really funny. And they're doing a few gigs with it, I think, around the place. And anyone who's looking to raise funds, I'm not sure if they're open to being invited to do it elsewhere. But I know they're doing it in a couple of places, different places in Donegal. I don't know off the top of my head because it was just mentioned in conversation. Go along to it. It's brilliant. It's funny.
Isn't it great when you're in a crowd like that and people are laughing out loud and there's joy in the room?
But there were some people were just like in hysterics the whole way through. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they knew some of the
people involved,
cast or whatever, but it was just a lovely thing. As I say, the run has finished in Kilmacrennan. I don't know why I can't remember Kilmacrennan, but the run's finished there. But I think it might be popping up in other places.
Yes, yes.
There was some talk of it in
But a huge thumbs up anyway.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Small cast, but funny. Yeah. Really funny, and a funny play as well. Ree Emmerdale, what about watershed viewing? That should apply to all soaps with serious issues. It's okay to show after 9 p.m, not beforehand. I'm not sure about that because I'm, and I've said it on this show before, Michael, I don't want to get into anything serious now, but there's a serious, serious problem with this issue. Really serious.
Yeah.
And not talking about it or not talking about it before nine or whenever, whatever we're doing at the moment or how we're doing at the moment, we need to find a different way or an additional way to do it and to reach people because so I am not too concerned at what time of the day it was on, but I fully respect this listener who may well know much better than I. But for me, not talking about it and hiding it is not working at the moment. Power is a must watch, says this listener. Also, Keith the Sutherland is coming back to the small screen with spy thriller Rabbit Hole.
Yes.
The trailer's on YouTube. Looks intriguing. Kiefer. Is that the son or dad?
No, it's the guy from 24. You're thinking of the Donaldson.
I have not. I think he was made for 24.
Absolutely.
I don't think he should have made anything beforehand, including Phone Booth, or that was maybe afterwards.
Yeah.
Or that kind of semi-supernatural show. I think he should have just stick to the music now.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen him in anything other than 24 that you think was good?
No. Not in terms of TV.
Definitely being harsh then.
Films. He's done some really great films and he had done a lot of stuff before. But the thing is, he has been consistently busy since 24. Like, he has been. None of the shows have been mega hits, but everything runs a couple of seasons, two or three seasons. I think Designated Survivor was it four seasons? I think. I didn't watch any of it.
That Designated Survivor was a funny one. The premise being, and it's true, isn't it, that there is one person that if all else fails in politics
in America,
they take control.
They take control.
It was just such an unrealistic premise for what followed, which was kind of just a regular show.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was such a massive, right, so what a way to get all these characters in place is what it came across as to me.
Yeah, it was just needlessly contrived.
But some people are very big fans of that show.
Not
necessarily former 24 fans.
Yes,
either.
It's a different fan base. Yeah, that would pull to it. He has mentioned in an interview promoting his new show that he is still open to returning to play Jack Bauer.
Just do another full 24 hours.
Yeah, I agree.
You don't have to change what's not broken.
Yeah.
You'll just do another 24 hours.
I would be on board for that.
Yeah, me too.
Don't try and be clever.
Don't try and be modernising.
Just do it.
Just do it as it was. Yeah, exactly.
Still the best.
Okay, you're welcome back to the 9 till noon show. I'm in the company of Michael Leddy. That's Entertainment with the full complement of Michael and Fionnuala returns next Friday, but we're ploughing on, no bother to us. Brendan Tiny Vaughan joins us on the programme now. Brendan, how are you?
Good morning from London.
Very good.
I'm grand.
You're not home then at the moment, no?
No, I'm not back at home, no.
All right, very good.
Maureen's back at home just for a couple of days, but I'm stuck here in London.
Good stuff. No bother to you. Right, Brendan, you are involved in another fundraiser. You never tire of this stuff, and fair play to you. A Massey Ferguson 135 is being raffled, and it's to raise money for the emergency services who assisted in the Chrysler tragedy in October last year. Obviously, you feeling that you wanted to do your bit as well. Tell us about this vehicle, because it sounds like it's got a vintage element to it. Has it, Tiny?
Oh, it has, yeah. It has indeed. It was sourced by a man from Leitrim called Tony McGovern. He was just telling me about it. It was out in Oxford. And I spoke to the Patrick Edwards. And Patrick says, oh, yeah, we've got a good tractor here and it's X amount of money. I says, it sounds good. And Tony McGovern has dealt with him for years and he's a good, reliable, honest person. So I didn't even have to go and look at the tractor. The photographs told the story, you know. And the tractor now is down at Paul O'Donnell's yard in Perryville, Podtrack. And we're having the lunch on Sunday up at Tifty's Tavern in Sudbury. And without, you know, I harp on about this, about support and backing and everything else. And without the backing of the Donegal men, and I have to say a Sligo man as well, this can't be done. I mean, I was out at the race lip there last Sunday weekend. I was tinkling with the idea about getting a tractor and I was on about it. I sourced a tractor and then I said I could start organising then. So I said to Paul O'Donnell and Mark Henry about the tractor. He says, no problem, we'll back you. And, you know, and when you get that backing, that makes a lot of the jobs very easy. And you have Kevin Tufty McGinley from Glenswally there, and here's the pub up there. And without that help and backing, things is very difficult, you know.
So I
find it very easy to organise something.
Yeah, fair play. And if people don't offer to help you, you compel them to help you, is my experience, Brendan. But these guys more than happy to help out. The tickets for the tractor are £10, £10 or €10.
Yes,
It's going on a wee bit of a tour, isn't it? It's going to pop up in different locations around Donegal and indeed London.
Of course, we're trying to now just a few bits and pieces to tie up. Joe Shevlin has just sorted out, like, public liability risk assessment for Trafalgar Square at the St. Patrick's Day Parade Sunday week. And then we're going to have it in the Glen Colum Kill Show. And we're going to have it, hopefully, in Clonmany. That's in the process of being asking the questions of what's happening. And also, Kiernan's made contact with me today. And Senator Kerry Garrett, they're going to take on Damien Daly and Cookie Galler and Sean Boyce. They're going to sell raffle tickets for us. And I'm going to have it, as I've been a Kerry Garrett man, and the Meva Fire Service are involved. I'll have it around Kerry, floating around Kerry Garrett on the Easter weekend when I'm home. And we'll be selling raffle tickets and different locations from Creasla, where my relatives are from, you know, and my mother's from, and my father, and Dunfanaghy and Fulcara. And what I'm looking for as well is people throughout Donegal that want to have raffle tickets, because I'm doing it the old way with the books, the tickets, rather than give PayPal or any of these other companies a lump of money. I want everything to go to the four nominated charities, which I've spoken to the whole lot, and that's Meva Fire Service, K9, Critical, and RADA, the other dog rescue crowd. And I mean, I was just talking to one of the fellas there, Ryan Gray from K9, and he was just after coming back from Turkey.
Yeah.
And he took 6 days leave to go out to Turkey and do the rescue mission out there with the dogs. And he doesn't get a penny for that. Mm. And hopefully now, this is my ambition now, that I can buy the likes of, not me personally, but buy them a vehicle which they desperately need to carry the dogs around, because the other vehicle is just on the way out.
Right, well, the tickets are priced well. It's at £10, €10, and money's tight, but I think a lot of people that want to feel they can, want to contribute, maybe might be able to find this. It all culminates in a final draw, which takes place on November 26th later this year. If you wish to volunteer to help at the various locations, get onto Tiny's Facebook page. And you can contact you there, Brendan, because there are other events that are happening throughout the course of the year that might say, look, bring the tractor up here, because it's a nice thing to be involved in.
Yeah, there's a big show in Killygordon, I think, as well, and there's another one on Barnet. But there's one, the likes of Michael O'Donnell there. Now, Michael's from Clonmany, he's investigating about the Clonmany show. Sure, Michael went away and hadn't the money even promised or nothing. He says, I'll pay for the tractor, and we'll sort out the money later. That's the generosity you get in London, and the help. And the likes of Tony McGovern from Leitrim, he got the tractor picked up. And it's just incredible the help you get here in London, you know?
Yeah, okay. It's a brilliant community. And I know that myself, because I was over with you a couple of years, and it's an amazing Irish community that's over there, not just Donegal, from all over Galway and Dublin and everywhere. Alright, Brendan,
that's it. Brilliant.
Right, okay, thanks for that. Check out your Facebook page. When are you back? Did you say Easter? Are you not going to be home till Easter?
Easter.
Alright,
no,
okay.
Easter.
Battering away
over there. We have to work, Greg, you know. I have to do a day's work.
As opposed to who?
Sitting on a microphone.
Say that at the end of the interview, you know what. In fairness, Brendan, I got off light from you. If that's all you have for me, normally it's much.
That's all, hey. That's the only time I don't swear is when I'm on Highland Radio and asleep.
Good stuff. When you, I heard you. I heard from certain people that you do swear in your sleep.
Oh no, it's all lies.
All right, Brent. Hey, thanks very much.
Thanks to Highland Radio for the support.
No problem.
And the backing down the years. Thank you.
All right, take care, Brendan Tiny Vaughan, a very proud Carrigart man there, of course. And you can go onto his Facebook, Brendan Tiny Vaughan, and you'll find out how you can buy your ticket for that massive Ferguson 135, which is going to be pretty famous, I think, by the time it does the tour of London and Donegal. Michael, isn't it? It's lovely to hear that.
Yes.
There's brilliant people like Brendan all over Donegal and the Northwest and beyond,
yeah,
battering away
getting
for
stuff
for
done okay. That really matters.
So we were asking people to let us know about your nice experiences with other people. Let me see. And I have a list of them here. All right. Now, there's a couple coming in for people who aren't originally Irish, which I think is nice. A caller says, people from other countries get bad press. Not generally speaking, but I take your point. But myself and my family were in the Oasis bar a few days ago and were served by one of the most hospitable waiters that we've ever had the pleasure of meeting. He didn't have an Irish accent and I'm unsure where he was from, and it doesn't matter as such. It was his pleasant, helpful manner that stood out. The Oasis should be very proud of its staff, as we could not have made, we could not have been made feel more welcome. I recently had a hospital appointment and forgot my face mask. When I went into Healthwise Pharmacy in Newton to buy one, they only had boxes, and the girl kindly gave me one from a box for the staff use. I was delighted with her service. We need more staff like her. Teresa McGee works in Trinity Courts in Newtown Cunningham. She goes above and beyond, and she's there 24/7 for everyone. She does so much for everyone and everything, and it's never a bother for her. She's always on the other end of the phone day or night. She deserves a gold medal. A big thank you from Cecilia McCann. Greg, we were at the Inishowen Gateway Hotel at the Carvery on Sunday, and one of the waiters there, I didn't get his name, but he was a new member of the Irish community, was honestly one of the nicest waiters we've ever met. We've three children, and his kindness to them was outstanding. After they ate their dinner, he came down and brought them up for ice cream, as he had said he would when he showed us to the table. We will definitely be back, simply as a result of how brilliant that waiter is at his job and how nice he was to us. Now, I'm not sure if this one is someone taking the hand, but I want to say, your own receptionist is a true lady. I had the privilege of dealing with her on the phone and could not be more pleasant. She's from Dublin, a great asset for Highland Radio. So, Greg, please give her a shout out. Thank you. Kind lady, very heartwarming soul. That's our own Katie, who is a very, very kind person, yes, of course, as well. Yeah. Hi, Greg and gang, as well as CEO of Highland, but congratulations to President Fionnuala. Mm. It's another feather to her fedora fastener. Do we have to call her El Presidente now, I wonder, Michael? She'll be too busy for us now. More chain, less cape. No. Now to the serious part. I've come across Winona Earp, sort of a supernatural six-shooter with a female twist on Sky Sci-Fi. By the way, I've seen 2D and 3D. As far as I know, do we have Michael D? Right, okay, that comes in from Kevin in Dunlow. Always enjoy Kevin's contributions.
Yes,
so don't worry, Fionnuala and her fedora are back next Friday. And the Winona Earp?
Yeah, that's on my radar for years. I wanted to check it out. I kept putting it off. It sounds like a great show. I love the lead actress. She was on a show called The Listener for a few years, mm-hmm, as a support player in a show about a guy who could read minds. She was fabulous. Then she got this show. And I know it came to an abrupt ending, and I think there was just a funding issue. There was a few things that brought it to an end after four seasons. But I would still love to check it out. So it's great to hear somebody mention it. It's on Sci-Fi, he said, at the moment.
Yep, and Kevin's normally pretty good, yes, for a shout, in fairness to him.
Yeah.
Right, more from Michael after the break. Ree Emmerdale, I let my children watch it and they were asking questions, so I was able to explain to them. And I'm always there if they ever need help or to talk, or they're... there's always someone out there to help. Yeah, indeed, I get that. And I have no issues with that storyline, Michael. Michael Eddy, who's with us. The only concern I had with any of it, because I thought it was, maybe it gives us an insight into what to look out for, that someone might appear okay, you know, and that it's very, very well researched as to what people might say. They don't want to sort of give an indication of their intention, but they might want to say something to you, right? So I think all of that's very positive. My only slight concern was the cliffhanger. That's it. But anyway, it doesn't seem to have worried too many other people. So that maybe that's it. Okay.
And as someone who doesn't watch, I mean, is it resolved tonight or is it next week?
I really don't. It's on in the background. Yeah. You know, I do a wee bit of my other stuff there, but yeah. I think it's on tonight. It's Friday, on tonight, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right, okay. Cocaine Bear in the cinema.
Cocaine?
We talked about this before. Was this a preview?
Did we talk about it before?
Maybe I talked to someone else about it.
I don't remember chatting about it, but I do remember seeing the trailer about 6 months ago. Well, 4 months ago, and being very impressed by the trailer. Elizabeth Banks, this is her third movie. I'm a big fan of Elizabeth Banks as an actress as well as a director, producer. She directed Pitch Perfect 2, and she's been a regular on things like Scrubs on 30 Rock, and she's been in like 5 Paul Rudd movies. And
I thought it was 3D Rock. It's 30 Rock. Wow.
30 okay. Rock, yeah. 30 Rock. About the TV
Rock.
Industry, yeah. Yep. No, 30 Rock, yeah. Okay. Tina Fey is great show, Alec Baldwin, who is in the news now for different reasons. So Cocaine Bear, it was something that I was really excited to see. And the bunch of us that are in the D&D group, we were all excited.
Dungeons and
Dragons. We got together on Monday night and went along to see this. And we were hyped up before we went to see it. It's a true story, based on a true story. In the mid-1980s, an attempt to smuggle some cocaine into the continental United States went awry, and it all got lost in the woods. Millions, about $15 million worth of cocaine. Wow. This is back in the 80s.
That's much more.
Yeah, it's a lot more. And a bear ate the cocaine and became high. So they extrapolate from that for this film, and the bear goes on a murderous rampage. Mm. This is a comedy, dark, dark, gory comedy film about a bunch of characters who cross paths with the bear who's high.
Do we see much of the bear?
We see a lot of the bear.
Is it like Ted or something? Is it given a personality?
She's given a personality. Well, her personality is that she loves cocaine.
I just misgendered a bear, but go on.
Yeah, you have. She's high and she behaves. But she rolls along the ground and she gets mesmerized by.
I don't know enough bears to
know the difference.
To pick out the one that's like up to its ears in drugs.
The way in this film you would see. And this was filmed in Ireland as well. This was filmed in Ireland a couple of years ago. Because a woods is a woods. A woods looks like a woods, so you can get away with it. It's a really gory film, but it's mad. It's funny. There were so many highlights. We came out and we must have talked for about 20 minutes on the steps. Because there's so many. So this thing exceeded expectations in America. People thought it would do well. It did way better at the box office last weekend than they were expecting. It may even do better again this weekend because of word of mouth
in
America.
People go and watch it.
But in America as well. But I'm saying to people, yeah. Now, again, this is gory. You'll see pretty, I mean, three quarters of
the
cast.
Is it kind of like Saw? You know, is that the kind of goriness I'm trying to...
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but it's funny gory, if you know what I mean. It's like I can't believe that just happened and you're laughing. So it's very funny.
Yeah.
But it's a certain type of humour.
The bear CGI, amazing. Is it like we saw in that... what's that name of that film where your boy from Titanic was attacked?
The Revenant.
Is it that level of graphics?
It is, yeah. The bear looks fantastic. Special effects. The bear looks amazing, I have to say. And it works. It completely works. There's never a point where I was out of the movie, ever, where I was like, oh, that doesn't look right.
Is it long?
It's about 100. It's about it's over the hour and a half. It's not quite 2 hours. Yeah, it's just about the right length. You know, it's not a movie where you could say, "Oh, it went on a bit too long." No, it works. And there's always
doesn't overstay its welcome.
If you're into that kind of humor, and not everyone will be, but if you're into that kind of humor, you'll be laughing from the get go. Like the first scene had us in stitches. Like,
I'm trying
literally
to think
the first
what film.
There's movies from, like, I'm a big fan of a 1978 movie called
Piranha.
It's not what you're looking for. No. Piranha was very funny as well as being a bit scary. And this is a bit scary sometimes, like, because when, like, the lead actress and her kids are in danger, you'll maybe be like, oh no, I hope they'll be okay. But, you know, nice people do well in this movie. I'm not spoiling it, but, you know, I mean, there's a lot of Ray Liotta's last movie. It's Ray Liotta's last movie. And he's excellent. Right. And he's a bad guy. He's a real bad guy. Most of the nice people do well. I'm just thinking, not all the nice people come out of this well. Quite a lot of people don't make it out of this film. But it's fun. It's fun.
Okay, what are you giving it out of 10?
For what it is, it's great fun. A friend of mine said, it sounds like it's great crack.
I know what you mean.
I
hard to phrase that.
That's Esther, you're talking about
the subject matter. Okay.
Yeah.
What a great man, Brendan. He's just a great ambassador for Donegal, that's for sure. And hopefully a future recipient of the Donegal Best of the Year. I mean, there's a few candidates, but Brendan has to be up there for what he does. Unbelievable stuff. And some of it people know about, a lot of it people don't know about it. Right, so Cocaine Bear in the cinema. Big thumbs up.
Huge
Ant-Man 3 in the cinema. Huge thumbs up. Should we do TV now?
Yeah.
A bit of TV news on The Rig. I didn't get around to watching that. And Frasier.
Yeah, the big news for both of these. First off, The Rig. I watched it. I finished it. I liked it. I mean, I wouldn't rave about it. It's not like the best thing ever.
That's not good enough because there's so much stuff out there.
I know, yeah. But it got better as it went on. Okay. Now, a lot of people were unhappy with the ending. Okay? The thing about The Rig is, that was season one, and season two has been... Now, I think a lot of people, including myself, assumed it was a six-part series that was self-contained. And when you got to the end, that wasn't a great ending to the entire story, but as an ending to set up season two, it works. And now they've officially... Amazon... Like, it was a hit for Amazon internationally, and season two is happening. And I'm delighted because, again, as I said on air before, it's a Scottish production. It's all in-house. It's Scottish producers, writers, performers... It's us, we're all tied in and whatever. So it's great to see something doing well internationally. And I thought, for what it's worth, the second half of the series was better than the first. I would cut the first three episodes into one episode and then leave 4, 5, and 6 alone. So I'm delighted about that. So The Rig is getting a second season, and in light of the fact that it's a continuing series, I would recommend it. The other big news is Frasier is coming back. This has been talked about for about 4 or 5 years, but now it's actually happening. I've seen it on Twitter. They had a screenshot of the script. It's in production. It's happening.
Who's alive still to be in it?
Well, Kelsey Grammer is only in his 60s, right?
Right, okay,
so he's in it. They're not bringing back anybody else.
His father passed away the last couple of years. He passed away, exactly.
But they're not just doing the old TV series. They're actually just building a completely new series around the character of Fraser Crane. And he's actually going to be back in Boston.
He had a brother in that, was quite a significant role. Is he in it?
I think what's happening is the regulars from the original Fraser are going to appear sporadically as guest stars. Okay. It's a little bit like that 90s show, which is bringing people back
sporadically. For continuity, focus is going to be elsewhere, really.
The focus, and the big news for Fraser a couple of weeks ago was that they've cast Nicholas Lenthurst of Only Fools and Horses as the other main regular, and he's another college professor who's a good friend of Fraser's. So, and they've also cast the actor who will be playing the grown-up version of Fraser Crane's son.
It'll be an interesting double act, those two.
Very good. They did a play together in London a few years ago. They got on famously. The play got great reviews. Apparently they have great comedic chemistry. Bit like myself and yourself, Greg. And so they are, I'm looking forward to this show enormously. And because it's in production this spring, I'm optimistic. They haven't said when they're bringing it out, but I'm optimistic that we might be seeing it before the end of the year.
Yeah. And I think with The Rig, just to go back to that, what people might find themselves doing is watching that as a 6-part, a 12-parter.
Yes, exactly.
You know, for those late adopters.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can totally see why people didn't like the ending. Because even the night I watched it, I was like...
I was talking about Power earlier on, and I found myself switching from like season 3 to 4 or 4 to 5, not realising that there had been a big conclusion.
A break, you know what I mean?
So I think this big hoorah at the end of a series, we've kind of been conditioned to it, but often you don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay, that's great stuff. Thank you very much, Michael, for manning the ship alone.
Grateful, I know.
And you're going to the theatre. Are you acting or
paying spectator? Heading tonight to see Ballyshannon Group in Newton Stewart. Tomorrow night, heading to see King. Fish Amble are up with Pat Kinnevan on Greenon. So theatre tonight, theatre tomorrow night, and I couldn't be happier. These are like my 6th and 7th plays of the last couple of weeks. I'm in my element.
Why wouldn't you be? Okay, fantastic stuff. Thanks very much, Michael.
Thank you.
That's Michael Lenny, writer and blogger, of course, and that's the show for another week. Thank you so much for listening and taking part and watching and however you got involved. We really do appreciate it. We're back with you, all being well, God willing, Monday morning from 9 o'clock.